Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this September 27th, 2023. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 3:30, we're going to welcome in Callie Johnson and Odessa from the ODC. Looking forward to talking with them. Plenty going on over at our ODC. Right now, in studio, we have our good friend Lance Plimmel, Wood County Board Chairman. We do send a shout-out to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Unable to be with us today video-wise, but you can catch the audio at their webpage. Go into YouTube, type into your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Like the page, subscribe to it, keep up to date with all the great work they are doing over there. Lance, how you been?
I'm good. Hey, that would have been a great heads up because then I could have worn my jeans in.
I know. And the me other too, stuff man. I had on. I tried to look good today. We had our hair and makeup people here.
Yeah, I was kind of doing the same thing. I skipped the makeup, but I was thinking, I could at least look the part when I walked in the door.
Lance, we always appreciate the time and the candidness. You and I get together and we just kind of talk. We just have a good conversation. And you brought up something in our pregame that I thought was really interesting. A kind of a day in the life of a board chairman. How was your... You had an interesting day yesterday. How did that go?
Yeah, some days are somewhat mundane, and then there's other days when people ask, what do you do? And I get that question quite a bit. What does the county do? What's their goals, objectives, and what's their purview? And, just to kind of give you an idea of what can happen. Yeah, and yesterday was a really interesting one. So, right away, actually, some of this occurred late Monday into Tuesday. But so you get a call and said there's been a power surge, takes out all the power at our River Block building. Now, that houses our human services and our health department, as well as other businesses. So you got 200, roughly, employees in that building with many people who need services coming in. Mm-hmm. So that power surge blows surge protectors off the wall, control units, takes down everything. No elevators, no power. Mm. So you're trying to relocate, pick a number, 150, 200 employees, find a workspace, and you're trying to tell the general public that they can't come into the building as we do those repairs. You get into yesterday, so this kind of morphs into Tuesday, where you get a call right away in the morning that says, we've had a bomb threat in Nakusa. So you've got your sheriff's department and all those emergency responders going. At the same time, you've got a training exercise going on at ERCO, where you have Highway 73 closed, and all of those departments that would normally respond to those kind of incidents there. And then you have the everyday other stuff that occurs throughout the day. So you're going, geez, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I haven't even gotten through the phone calls. Who do you notify? Yeah. And you forget about things. We forget even when that emergent situation happens. Let's say the power at River Block. How do you notify the general public that they shouldn't make a trip in? And there's a lot of programs that they provide to those that are really in need. And you hate to have them make that drive in and then have nobody there. Yeah. And if you have the fire department, for instance, evacuate the building, and it's raining out. It's only rained 3 days all summer, but happened to be the last three in a row. Yeah. It's kind of hard to have somebody standing outside the building in the rain with an umbrella saying, hey, you can't come in today. That's one of the days that you just go, you're putting out fires before you get to things like budgets, committee meetings, and dealing with the general public. So, your best laid plans. Usually think 8:30. I'm going to start with some calls to department heads and maybe answer some questions from the community. And all of a sudden, you go, "Jesus, 2 p.m. I haven't had breakfast. I haven't had lunch, and I haven't gotten anything done yet."
And you've got this in front of you. I immediately think of something my Nana said all the time growing up. You want to make God laugh, make plans. It's the way life works. With a day like that, and I'm sure it's not the first day you've had
there's
like
a lot
that.
Of days like that. Dispatch center goes down. How do you reroute calls? Things like that.
When these things happen, Lance, and once the dust settles, does it give you, your team, an opportunity to learn from these experiences and say, if there is something to take from it? Usually there is.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that I find really amazing is I have the opportunity to go to trainings around the country, some of the national security agencies, FBI. Had a presentation a couple weeks ago from one of the
I'm so jealous about that, by the way.
One of the former head of counterintelligence with the CIA.
Man, I would have loved to have been
in that was really interesting. In fact, I'm not telling you the name of the book because I'm on the waiting list to check it out right now. Don't want you to beat me to that. But we do sit down and we kind of do a critique and autopsy of the situation. And, one of the things I've learned in those trainings is it really isn't a training or a scenario until you stress it until it breaks. And we hear that all the time. It's great to go through it and go, everything worked. Well, in real life, that's not the way it happens. Yeah. So we try to set up those trainings until it breaks. And mm-hmm. and it oftentimes it's communication. Mm-hmm. It's things you didn't think of. But then we sit back down, sometimes in the emergency operations center with those, you know, it can be law enforcement, it mm-hmm. can be fire, emergency responders, we go, what did we do wrong? Mm-hmm. What can we do better? How do we inform the public? And, you know, a really good example is if the dispatch, if the 911 lines go down, and that is not an internal issue always. It's, you know, lines feeding in from other places. Yeah. Yeah, a number of years ago, you know, we had, there's redundancy built in, and we had one of the cables, or something was cut, probably a fiber optic cable, I'm not exactly sure, but that happened. And then by accident, a farmer cut the other line somewhere up where routes around, you know, in a circular kind of situation. Yeah. So you have backup and you're going, now we have nothing. So, you know, how do you get messages out to the public that said, in the event of, you know, we have some cell phone availability or we can route stuff maybe through Portage or Adams County. Yeah, you got to talk about it because it happens. The one thing I learn when I go to these trainings is no matter how much you train, no matter how much you think you know, something's going to break when it really occurs. And then the key to all of this is communication. How do you get messages out to the public? So we're constantly looking at ways to do that. There's a subscription-based service called Nixel where messages go out to those who subscribe. The county right now has made a commitment to use a system. It's called Everbridge. I believe I've got that right, where it's the Nixel system, but it's not an opt-in. Those messages will go to everybody, and we can somewhat discern as to where they go within the county. In other words, a tornado warning for Marshfield necessarily doesn't need to be a tornado warning for Wisconsin Rapids or vice versa. So that system, the county made it a commitment. It's about a $22,000 obligation. We thought $22,000 to get these types of information out in emergency situations is probably a pretty good investment. And it's a one-year trial. If it doesn't work or if we don't see benefit, we won't do it next year. But I just think of the one the other day. You know, you start getting these phone calls. Why is Highway 73 closed by ERCO? Why is every emergency vehicle in the county with flashing lights on over there? Why is everybody at Humpke Elementary School? Or, you know, why are there 200 employees standing outside the River Black building with the fire department? Some of that's nice to get out.
When it came to the topics you just brought up, all of them resolved well? And it sounds like, and from what I know, they were, but just from your perspective?
It is. And, you know, you try to fill everybody in, especially those county board supervisors that might have direct oversight of a department or a committee. But, you know, even I forget to do that. You know, dispatch calls me, and then I'm on the phone with HR or the director of the Human Services Department. And then I'm thinking, geez, did I call the vice chair of the board? And the answer is, in this case, no, I forgot. I did call the chair of the Human Services Committee, let him know, and we had some conversations. But, yeah, you just forget how many people really need to be in the know. And that's where some of these ways to communicate in mass really helps. So, yeah, that's kind of a that was a fun day.
Yeah, it's a crazy day.
There's other days like that where something happens. And you need to know what's going on.
I appreciate the kind of not only as always the transparency with you, Lance, but most so the being a kind of the empathy that can create, and hopefully encourage more people to be board members, to be on these, whether it is your city board or a local nonprofit or something like that. We need more board members in this industry, in this world, and hopefully it encourages people to do that.
Yeah, you know, James, I just want to add, you know, I'm fully aware we don't always get it right. And I think the one thing that we do really well within our communities here is we realize we don't always get it right, and we're willing to pivot. And that's sometimes the difference between local politics and state or national politics, where, you know, you kind of stick your head in the sand and you have to toe a party line. County government is, obviously it's political, but it's nonpartisan. And you might know where somebody generally stands, but the decisions we make are based on, you know, tend to be, you know, what further betters county government service to the people. And we realize that when we make a mistake, let's change it. Get after it.
I think that the older I get, the more I look at politics as negotiating. And a lot of negotiations are, as most people would tell you, a good negotiation, both parties leave and neither is happy and neither is unhappy. That's unfortunately, we're dealing with a world where you and your neighbor may not see eye to eye. And how do you take care of both those residents? They both live in the same zip code. So you're going to have negotiations not always go perfect for either side. Sometimes both parties are happier and not happy. And that's kind of the world we live in.
Yeah, you know, if I had to break it down to the kind of lowest common denominator, it's all about relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, I tell people, you know, when I walk into an office at the state capitol, it really helps if I know the person on a personal level. You know, I might know their wife's name, their kids' names, what they do in their off time on weekends. Mm-hmm. They have to know that there's a real interest in them, as well as I'm coming to you for funding for an issue. So you develop those relationships. And I had the opportunity, we had the Wisconsin Counties Association annual conference occurred last week, and I addressed that body mm-hmm. a couple of times, and you know, one of the things I talked about was building those relationships, and I'm not going to call the person out. Mm-hmm. This is not a negative. I just don't want to. I have other people ask the same question, I said to somebody one day, you know, you're younger, you're smarter, you're better educated, you're more tech savvy, and their comment to me was, yeah, but you know who to call. Mm-hmm. And I said, you're right. I've built a lot of long-term relationships over years where the other side trusts you. They know if you tell them something, you're going to follow through.
Yeah.
The interesting part of that was, as I told them, as I said, next year, you're still going to be younger and you're still going to be smarter and you're still going to be better educated and you're still going to be way more tech savvy. And you know what? You're going to know all the phone numbers too. Mm-hmm. So that's my point is to everybody in the community is, you know, take the opportunity to mentor other people.
Yeah.
You know, I look at my job right, you know, now, I know what I'm doing as the county board chairman. I've done it for a lot of years, and I've served as the president of the county association. I deal with other counties. I understand the issues. And I look back and I realize those people that gave me that leg up, that opportunity, who educated me, and I don't mean they lectured me, but they educated me. And I've taken the time in the last couple of years to really get on the phone with some of those people who are long out of county government and just said, thanks. You know, what you taught me has gone a long way in the opportunities you provided. So, you know, this is not a swan song in any way whatsoever.
Right on.
But
yeah,
I look
good
at it
to
as,
know.
You know, I got way more years behind me mm-hmm. in government than I have ahead of me, or unless I lived to like 120 or something, which isn't going to happen, not with my lifestyle. but anyway, you know, take those opportunities to mentor those people. And that goes exactly back to what you just said. You know, why don't people get involved?
Mm.
Nobody asked them.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody mentored them. Nobody told them what they're getting into. So I always tell my peers, you know, that ought to be their goal.
Yeah.
There always has been, there always will be a next generation.
Yeah. Well said. I'm speaking with Lance Pillamo, Wood County Board Chairman right now. And Lance, let's get into the budget talk a little bit. Like we usually like to get to this topic at some point. How is that looking right now? Let's dive into that.
I thought you were going to talk about some fun stuff.
I know. We'll wrap up with some fun stuff.
No, but the budget process, you know, you take a deep breath typically end of November and you go, oh, good, the budget's done. But realistically, it starts again, you know, early January. And it's not something you look at just once a year.
Yeah.
I mean, a budget is a fluid, dynamic document. It changes throughout the years as emergent situations occur and as things change. But as we put together a budget for the year, you know, we've been pretty lucky in Wood County. We've been pretty financially conservative. We obviously had a really big obligation as we decided to put together or put up a new jail.
Yeah.
And that wasn't because we wanted a jail, it's because we needed a jail.
Right.
We looked at the long-term cost, which was about a, you know, $20 to $30 million savings when we started this process over maintaining the old jail and continuing to fix that. Those numbers have come much closer together as we've seen, you know, supply chain issues and inflation. But nonetheless, you know, that's a big obligation.
Yeah.
But that's separate than operational budgets. And so, you know, we give parameters to our different department heads. We ask them to come in at a certain number. We don't count pens, pencils, and paper clips like we used to. You know, if you had a budget that was $10, sometimes we ask you to come in next year at $10.30.
Jeez.
And if you meet that number, obviously there's a lot of, you know, there's a decimal there and a lot of zeros. But if you come in at that number, my goal is not to micromanage you, nor the goal of the rest of our county board supervisors. So our department heads worked extremely hard, came in with some really good numbers this year. I can tell you in Wood County, we're in pretty good shape. Mm-hmm. You're going to see some numbers as tax bills roll out. And I want you to keep in mind, too, there's the county portion. It says Wood County tax bill on it.
Yeah,
there's also the municipality, the tech schools, the school districts, and the other things that add in to that total bill. But in Wood County, we're in pretty good shape. You know, we always look at efficiencies. You know, do we need to fill a slot? Don't we need to fill a slot? Can we share positions? But at the end of the day, there's no service that we've cut. There might be some efficiencies we found within departments. But as a citizen, you're going to see the same level or higher level of service than you saw last year at relatively the same cost. So that's been beneficial. The other part of that is we don't use ARPA money, which everybody talks about as, you know, that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow that was there for operational expense. We want something that's going to have a legacy for years gone by. So when they look at something, they go, oh, so that's what they did with the money. You know, we're not burning it up doing stuff. One of the opportunities there might be there's some federal health care facilities that we might be able to leverage, you know, many, many million. You know, if we can spend a dime and get a dollar, we're going to do that every time. So there's some of those opportunities when they exist that we try to leverage. So all in all, if you're a citizen out there, I think you're going to see about what you saw last year. You're going to see no reduction in services, and you're going to see it done in a financially responsible way.
Lance, we can go from talking budget to the job itself, but how has this grown or changed since you first started to now as far as budget talk? And do we have more flexibility with our budget today than when you first started? Not talking dollars and cents. That, of course, is going to grow and change and everything. But as far as like our use of it, our strategy with it going forward and how we use our budget, has that gotten better? Has that gotten more precise?
Some of this is just mindset, and some of it's, you know, evolution. So when I go back, you know, when I started this process a quarter of a century ago, you know, we used to have budget meetings that lasted an entire week. They lasted most of the day for the better part of those weeks. And the board really micromanaged a lot of this. And I wasn't solely responsible for it. There were other people along at the same time, but back when I became the board chair, I said, we're not going to do that anymore. We've got highly qualified department heads who know what they need. They know what programs they run, and they know how to do it. So let's look at the numbers. Let's give them a number. And when they come in at that number, I don't want to sound like I don't care. But, you know, if they're running the programs within the budgets, and we are an administrative arm of state government, and we're providing those programs in a fiscally responsible way, we don't need to micromanage that. Now, things change over time. You know, just inflation. Yeah. I mean, I remember back when, you know, you could buy a highway patrol truck. You know, this sounds ridiculous even when I say it, for $100,000.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're $250,000 to $300,000 to put a truck on the road.
Yeah.
You know, if you do a 4-inch overlay on a mile of highway, you're looking, it depends. I mean, if you don't have to do much, you're looking at $250,000 a mile. Yeah. If you're looking at doing some more of the, you know, substrate work, some of the the base to that, I mean, you could be looking at $500,000 a mile. So, I mean, you burn up money, you know, pretty quick.
Yeah.
So inflationary pressures change. You know, I was kidding somebody the other day. They made a comment. They'd been around a long time like I had. And I said, yeah, well, I know we don't have the horse and buggies anymore. We don't have to buy the oats and feed them.
Right.
but things change and the process has changed. And my philosophy, and I think probably transcends a little bit the philosophy of the entire board, is we hire great people. And I'm going to miss somebody, so I'm going to have somebody call me after this who works for us and complain. But, you know, if you look at Wood County, we're a little bigger than medium-sized county in the middle of the state. Our county clerk is the president of the County Clerks Association. Our Register of Deeds is the president of the Register of Deeds Association. Our facilities manager was the president of his association. Our highway commissioner was president of the Wisconsin County Highways Association. I mean, I could go on and on and on. And that's due to the respect that we have garnered in Wood County for the way we run programs, the way we're fiscally responsible, and the fact that we're willing to sit down, listen, and to your point, you don't always get your way. But what's the fallback position, and what's the both intended and unintended consequence of the decision? And so the point is, we have relied on, we've hired the best department heads. And I had somebody one time say, will you pick a friend or an acquaintance? They didn't know what I was doing, but they generally, you know, generally it becomes nepotism to some extent without the maybe familiar relationship, but it isn't. When you sit in the chair that we sit in as supervisors, we hire the best people that we can find for the job, because if it doesn't work out, they're on the committee. If it gets past the committee, they're chopping my head off. And frankly, I don't like that. You know, we hire the most qualified people to do the best job we can. And if we find there's a problem, you know, we come up with a performance improvement plan. But otherwise, the best tactic is usually is hire the best people and get out of the way.
Don't be Jerry Jones. Just don't be Jerry Jones. That's all you got to do.
I'll remember that, because that's not shorter than the rant I just went on.
No, I thought I loved every second of that. That was awesome. But it is a little synopsis, if you needed a Cliff Notes version. Lance, with our last 5 minutes, I wanted to talk a little bit about Powers Bluff and the exciting stuff going on over there.
Yeah, that's been a great project. And that's one of those legacy-type projects that we look at with some of the rescue plan money, some of the, you know, I'll call it the windfall that came to local units of government around the country. You know, one of the commitments we made up there years ago, there was a master plan that came out on that back, it was probably 15, 20 years ago, and what we should do. And some of that's starting to come to fruition a little bit as funding's become available. One of the big projects up there is the bike trails. And, you know, we have the packed gravel type trails, and then there's mountain bike trails, and then there's a couple of just downhill runs. And they're not the tubing runs, but they're downhill. And so we have 3 miles of that trail, the compacted trail, is done right now. There's some landscaping that has to be done around it and some seating and stuff like that, but it's usable, it's available out there. Got about another mile and a half of some of the mountain bike trails that are done or very close. When I say that, I mean they might be moving a little bit of stuff around, but it's usable. There's parking out there. It's not, I don't believe we have that paved yet this week, but it is compacted gravel. There's signage. And use it, you know. And one of the thoughts out there is we're expecting, you know, upwards of it's going to be tens of thousands of visitors a year to use that facility, based on what we've seen at other facilities in the area. And we're centrally located, so it's a state-of-the-art setup. We brought in some of the best people from around the country to set those up, and I'm going to tell people, you know, take advantage of it. One of the things I love about the parks, James, is there's only a couple of things within the county programs that everybody can use regardless of, you know, financial status or need or whatever. And, you know, every single resident of the county or outside the county can use our park system. There's not a financial need required. There's no economic qualification. Go use them. And Powers Bluff is a gem up there. And you're seeing us start to develop some of those additional things where we can use that park on a year-round basis. So get out there and use it.
Yeah, go check it out, everybody, especially this time of year. This time of year, it's maybe the my favorite time of year to be out that way, and really anywhere in this state. I encourage you. We were just talking about our morning show, all the great spots here in central Wisconsin to take in the fall season.
Yeah, we were just talking about rain. I said, it's rained 3 days all summer. Yeah. Just having to be in a row.
Just having to be right in a row.
And now I'm complaining about it, but we need that. But yeah, get out there. The fall colors are gorgeous and ample opportunity in Wood County.
Yeah. Lance, we always appreciate the time, and especially when we get a chance to kind of wrap up on our an important topic and becoming more and more important as we go forward with tourism and recreation and that. So it's always a good conversation with you. If people have follow-up questions or want to know more about some of the things we've talked about today, how can they reach you?
Well, first of all, the best way to get any information is go to the Wood County website. It's all right there. All of the county board supervisors, mine included, numbers and contact information is on that website if you have direct questions. But a lot of the information you just want is probably there already.
And that website is woodcountywi.gov, woodcountywi.gov. Encourage you to check that out and also look at the upcoming meetings and get involved in your game, get involved in your world, in your politics, everybody.
Yeah. If you don't remember that website, just Google Wood County, Wisconsin, but there's another Wood County in Ohio, so make sure you say Wisconsin.
Yeah, you got to put Wisconsin. I've had that happen.
Or you may be driving somewhere in Ohio.
you might be taking a trip, might be. Lance, thanks so much for the time.
Thanks, James. Appreciate it.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.